This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Law Talk on Joy Drive.
Not all couples, but many couples want to be parents, and they crave the pitter-patter of tiny feet and crying babies, changing nappies. For some of these couples who want to be parents, this may not be possible biologically, and it might lead to them considering surrogacy. And surrogacy is a form of assisted reproductive treatment, or ART, where a woman, being the surrogate, agrees to carry and give birth to a child on behalf of another person or couple. This is a big topic. For many people, it's highly emotional, complex, and complicated, but also very important. And to help us take a few baby steps along the road of surrogacy, we're joined by Beck Dahl from Nichols Family Lawyers, and one of our very own Joy Radio and surrogate, Rach Morrison. Beck and Rach, where do we start?
I think you've done a good job already, Warren.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you've taken some of my good material. But look, as you said, surrogacy is a arrangement, if I can call it that, where a surrogate carries a baby on behalf of a person or couple that effectively can't do that themselves. So medically, there's two kinds of surrogacy. There's gestational surrogacy, where an embryo is put into the surrogate that's already made, or traditional surrogacy, which is a bit less common and a bit more complex legally, where a surrogate might use her own eggs. But they're the two different, I suppose, medical types of surrogacy. Mm-hmm. And then I guess from my perspective as a lawyer, we also look at two different kinds of surrogacy, being the altruistic and the commercial surrogacy. So altruistic surrogacy is, I suppose, as it sounds, right? It's altruistic. The surrogate isn't receiving a material benefit for carrying the child, aside from payment of reasonable expenses, but no material benefit, I suppose.
So not profiting from it.
That's right. Whereas commercial surrogacy is, I suppose, more of a business type transaction where the surrogate is benefiting materially from the pregnancy. Now, in Australia, commercial surrogacy is illegal. You can't pay someone to have your baby. But it is completely legal to do altruistic surrogacy in Australia. And it's also, you're able to, in certain circumstances, do commercial surrogacy overseas.
Rach, you've been a surrogate yourself. What's the process like for couples who are trying to find a surrogate? I feel like you've been a surrogate for like...
I'm pregnant with baby number two, so it's been like 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, essentially. I did have a little break in between. It's not like I've been consistently pregnant. So... As Beck mentioned, the laws around Australia, the surrogacy within Australia varies depending on state to state. So according to statistics by Sarah Jefford, who is also working as a lawyer in the surrogacy community, around 80% of people find surrogates through existing relationships. So that means someone that they already know, but that only leaves about 20% who find surrogates through places like social media groups, which is actually how I met my intended parents. They weren't people I knew prior. Mm-hmm. We met on a Facebook group, but in Victoria, you actually can't make social media posts about looking for a surrogate or a donor until you have your advertisement, in inverted commas, approved by a patient review panel. So the laws are all based on the state in which the intended parents live. So if you're in Victoria and you're wanting to have a surrogate, that means those laws apply to you. Whereas for me, my intended parents are in South Australia, so we weren't subject to going through patient review panels.
So given that you didn't know them in the beginning, do you develop a bit of a relationship with them, or is it all completely separate?
Oh, no. We are family now. We are chosen family, absolutely.
Isn't that amazing?
If you think about, like, they're going into the most intimate thing with you in your life. Like, as gay men who had never seen women bits before, they were down the bottom end when Ari was born, and it wasn't weird.
It was all learning and growing.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? Are they excited?
Oh, yeah. They absolutely adore Ari, who's baby number one, and they're so excited for baby number two as well. Like, these people are destined to be parents.
Fantastic. Beck, so the couple find someone willing to be a surrogate. What happens then?
Yeah, so they find their Rachel, as we can call them. And I guess as Rachel alluded to, it's different. One of the tricky parts about surrogacy in Australia is that every state has its own laws, and there's some homogeny between them, but not a lot. So I guess because we're in Victoria, I'll talk to the Victorian law. But so in Victoria, the parent or parents must have a what they call a social or medical need for surrogacy. So effectively, you know, it might be a same-sex couple that don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, or a couple that can't carry a baby, or a person who can't for whatever reason. In Victoria, the surrogacy has to be 25 years or older. In Victoria, which is not the case in South Australia where Rach has been a surrogate, mm-hmm. you have to have had at least one child of your own to be a surrogate beforehand. Ah. Whereas, you know, that wasn't the case for you, Rach. This was your first
yeah.
experience.
And that's why I knew going into it, it had to be a family from either Queensland, New South Wales or South Australia.
That's right. And as I said, it has to be altruistic. Both parties have to have undergone counselling and get legal advice too in Victoria about the arrangement. And I guess sort of looking at what the emotional, financial, social, all the impacts might be. And also, you know, in Victoria, there's some approvals from the patient review panel that you might need as well.
If you just joined us, we're chatting with Beck Dahl from Nichols Family Lawyers and Rach Morrison about how surrogacy works in Australia, the rules, the emotions and the real life experiences behind it. Rach, from your side, what was that preparation process like?
I'd just like to let you know before we continue that I am being kicked right now.
Oh, are you?
So he's involved in this conversation.
Live on air.
Yes, Squish is involved.
Touch your radios, everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, boom, 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 boom. So preparation, research. So much research is involved. I guess there was a kind of a lucky thing when COVID happened for me because that's when I started. I felt my social clock or whatever you call it starting to tick, and I was like, here's this thing that I want to do for people. Mm. And so I really had all the time in the world to deep dive into what the laws are because, you know, initially I was like, surely surrogacy isn't even legal in Australia, and then finding out it was, but by state, all the laws are different. And I then learnt as someone who hadn't had kids of my own, mm-hmm. But really wanted to go through this experience. I had to look in specific ways. So I guess being part of the queer community, though, is kind of what led me to surrogacy because I see my peers who are socially infertile, as the IVF clinics like to refer to
it. Is that
as.
How we refer yeah. to yeah. socially infertile?
It's beautiful, isn't
yes.
it?
It's lovely.
And because they're socially infertile, can't carry their own kids, but I have this body that's doing this thing every month that then means that I could carry a child potentially, and I like spoke to my GP about it. Do I need to get any tests done? And they're like, no, if you have periods, then you're probably good. And so just, yeah.
Good to go.
Went into it from there.
Now, we've read the stories where a child is born and the surrogate decides that they want to keep the child. What happens then, Beck, and what can be done to make sure everyone is on the same page before the surrogate becomes pregnant?
Well, I think when we say we've read the stories, you probably watch too many midday movies, Warren, on Channel 9. It's got a very it's got a very midday movie flavour, doesn't it?
I think you've been there with me watching
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, it is a really personal, intense, emotional journey. And one of the big things is about the surrogate and the parent or parents being on the same page, whether that's, you know, through the counselling process or the writing an agreement or the legal process. I think the biggest thing is everyone entering into a understanding what everyone else intends to happen at the end of this. And, you know, understanding legally what everyone's rights and responsibilities are as well. But, yeah, look, I think that Rachel probably talked to this a bit, but the cases of surrogates running away with babies, they're really the stuff of midday movies,
are they?
I think.
That's yeah. good to know.
So in Australia, there is only one recorded case of a surrogate wanting to keep the baby, and it was a whole big thing. But one out of however many hundreds happen per year is it's pretty good statistics. But the surrogacy agreement is really important to have in place. It's technically not legally binding, which is interesting, except for the financial compensation. So ensuring that the surrogate is never out of pocket for surrogacy or pregnancy or post-birth related costs.
So that part, Beck, is that legally binding? So that's costs, but that's it.
The rest of it, you know, much like we've talked about donor agreements lot, Warren, being not binding, but being that really important, I guess, statement of intention about what people are thinking.
And hopefully by the time you get to putting together a surrogacy agreement, you're pretty sure that you don't want to keep the baby and you want them to take the baby home. Yeah.
Now, let's imagine the child's just been born, not long now. How long?
10 weeks-ish.
10 weeks to go. The child has just been born. The surrogacy agreement covered things such as how long the child is with the surrogate parent before being handed over to the new parents. Who is the actual parent?
This is interesting because technically when I give birth to this baby, he is mine until...
You said he.
Yes, it is a boy.
Okay.
That's not a secret.
Not a spoiler. Oh, okay.
For the midday movie.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah, no, legally I am the birth parent.
Okay.
I get given a birth certificate with my name, my partner's name, and the baby on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the parents apply for a parentage order,
right,
which then they override the birth certificate and issue a new birth certificate, but it doesn't mean that just because I'm the one on the birth certificate when he's born doesn't mean that he can't go home with them. Obviously, he's their baby, so they're going to take him home. They're going to leave the hospital with him, not me.
What sort of role will you play in the baby's
life? Oh, cool Auntie Rage.
Cool Auntie Rage.
Good presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So we've talked mainly about surrogacy within Australia, but what about overseas surrogacy? Can you tell us a bit more about how that works, and is that something that many people do?
Yeah, look, I would say it used to be a lot more common, and effectively that's because in Australia, you know, as we were sort of talking about, it is hard to find someone to be a surrogate. So a lot of people were going overseas, but there became a bit of a focus, I would say, on the rights of surrogates because there were a number of countries where women were forced into surrogacy because of their economic or, you know, other circumstances. And so there's quite a number of countries now, including India and Thailand, that used to be very popular, where surrogacy is illegal for foreigners, and that was really to stop the exploitation of women in those countries. Look, there's still a number of countries where it's legal, and lots of people people still do international surrogacy. The other issue we've got with that is the law's a bit grey in terms of the process Rachel went through, where it was quite easy really to say she was no longer the legal parent and the dads of the baby were. The law's not that simple in terms of transferring that legal parentage, and we actually don't have an ability in our law as it currently stands to transfer that parentage. So you'll hear a lot of gay dads particularly who have done overseas surrogacy talk about not actually being the legal parents of their children. So there's a lot of complicated stuff in that, but it is available.
If you just joined us, we're chatting with Beck Dahl from Nichols Family Lawyers and Rach Morrison from Joy about how surrogacy works in Australia. So are the surrogacy laws different for same gender diverse and opposite sex couples?
They are everywhere except Western Australia.
So complicated, isn't it?
I know. So Western Australia technically it still does only cover heterosexual and single women being able to do surrogacy, which obviously excludes same-sex male couples.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's been so much...
Are they socially infertile?
Well, yes.
Right.
Yes. The maths doesn't sort of math there. The government in Western Australia has introduced a bill now to enable it to happen, but the bill actually hasn't been passed into law yet. So... tick tick Western Australia, because what it means is that then people are having to travel interstate, and you know that there's a lot of inequity there for people. So we need them just to chop, and then if it was up to me, the rest of Australia would then all have the same laws about surrogacy. But I don't have that much power yet.
Yet, Rach, I've been watching you grow and grow. Mm-hmm. This is the second time around. It's very, very exciting. Have you got any final advice or tips for someone who might be considering it?
Yes, absolutely. So I mentioned before research, mm-hmm. but part of research is also connection.
Okay.
So it's connecting with other people who have either been through the experience or even sharing your journey with friends and family. Like I know of people whose hairdressers offered to be their surrogate.
Oh.
So you never know who is in your circle until you speak about it. And it is a really confronting thing. No one likes to talk about their fertility struggles, you know, until the fertility struggles are over. We look at celebrities and they don't, you know, spill the beans until they do finally get pregnant or whatever it is. But it is so important to talk about it as it's happening, because that's how you are going to find the people in your life that's going to support you through a surrogacy. So, yeah, connection.
Connection, Beck?
Totally agree. I think research, connect, and advice, you know, whether that's legal advice, getting some psychological advice, you know, your medical advice, all those sorts of things. And, you know, look around. You never know.
I wish we'd had these conversations 20 years ago. I might have been a dad.
Well, I think 20 years ago the laws weren't there. Yes.
No. That's right.
It was a trickier subject then, whereas now we do speak about
that's
it.
That's right. And happening. We should speak about it.
It's so good. Beck and Rach, thank you so much for sharing such powerful insights. It's been fascinating from both of you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lauren.
That's our partner Beck Dahl from Nichols Family Lawyers and Rachel Morrison, who's also a proud surrogate mum.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.